Timothy chapter number 4 tonight. I've asked my wife to play a song for me. I wanted to sing a song that the first time I heard this song, I as you probably already know, I'm sometimes on the emotional side of things, but this song was unique in a way that I was just listening to it, and the tears were streaming down my face as I was listening to the song. And it's not your typical special music song. It's not your typical sing, you know, through. It's a testimony. It's a song of testimony from a songwriter, and it was his testimony. I want to read some of the words to you before I start. And he says, "When the lights go down, and when there's no song, no sound, where can my heart be found? What kind of man am I going to be? When the stage is bare and there's nobody there, will it still be my prayer to live the life they all think I lead? And will I be like the one who I sing about when the lights go down?" And as I was thinking through Father's Day, I thought this was the perfect opportunity to sing this song that's not really a special music song. It's just a testimony. And I thought for us guys out there, when everything is said and done, when you are outside of this building, outside of this place, when you are away from other Christians, are you like the one that you come to praise on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights? Are you like the one that you talk to your family about? When it's just you and God, who are you? And I wonder if you retain the same character as you do in this place. So tonight, hopefully this will be a blessing to your heart. Each night I take my place. I stand, I sing, I praise. And every single face is staring back at me. But do they believe that it's more than just a show? Well, deep in my heart, I know how expectations grow. When you claim the king to be your everything, but when the lights go down, when there's no song, no sound, where can my heart be found? What kind of man am I gonna be when the stage is bare and there's nobody there? Will it still be my prayer to live the life they all think I lead? Will I be like who I sing about when the lights go down? When the applause has died and every tear's been cried, emotions I've held inside, no one else can see. I feel so unworthy when all the music fades into a yesterday. There's still a sea calling out to me. I know how this seems, but when the lights go down, There's no song, no sound. Where can my heart be found? What kind of man am I gonna be when the stage is bare and there's nobody there? Will it still be my prayer to live the life they all think I lead? Will I be like who I sing about when the lights go down? When the lights go down. There's a portion of the song that obviously I sometimes can't get a grip on, but it says there's still a secret place calling out to me. And I hope that in your life, when there's moments outside of this place, when you escape from church on Sunday night and Sunday morning and Wednesday night, I hope that it's not just I go home and I go back to the way I was, but I hope that there's a secret place calling out to you, a place of worship personally with Christ your Savior. I hope there's a time where you get away from everything and everyone and have your time of worship of God Almighty. I hope that you have that secret place. And I hope when the lights go down that your heart can be found intermingled with His. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, 2 Timothy chapter number 4 tonight. Tonight I'd like to preach a message to you, and it's not going to be on the slides. The message is entitled, Enduring What is Hard to Do What is Great. Enduring what is hard to do what is great. For the moment, we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, and we're going to see the great stages of ministry, the great things that Christians get to partake in, the greatness of a pastor. But then we're going to take a look at the chapter before this and see the hard things that the pastor, the minister, the Christian has to endure through. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verses 1 and 2, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And most of you know this verse. You might even be able to quote this verse with me. Verse number 2 says, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And that's the part, to be honest with you, that most preachers enjoy. They enjoy the preaching part. They enjoy to get up and proclaim God's word. That's the great part of the ministry, is to be able to preach the word of God to the hungry heart. But I want you to take a look back, just one chapter. Take a look at chapter number 3, verse number 1. Before we can get to the preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, before we can get to the splendid part of the ministry, before we can get to the point where our life is preaching God's word, I want to take a look at some of the hard things that we endure. The Apostle Paul starts and says in verse number 1, this I know also, that in the last days, and by the way, we're in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. I want you to take a look down at verse number 10. It says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch and Iconium. By the way, if you don't know the background of that story, we're going to talk about it in a few minutes. Some terrible things happened to the Apostle Paul there. At Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's a part of Scripture we don't like.
Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But the Apostle Paul continues and he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And not from a child hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's have a word of prayer this evening. Dear Jesus, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to come and to worship you. Lord, to hear from you. Thank you for the hungry hearts that are here to get some of your word this evening. Thank you, Lord, for the new Christians who are learning and growing and excited about the Lord. Thank you for the older Christians who are faithful, who are here, who love you, who want to honor you. God, I pray as we look through this passage that we'd be willing to endure what is hard, to do what is great. God, it is great for your word to be preached through us. It is great for our testimony to be preached to a lost and dying world. It is great to be able to go out and to reach someone for Jesus Christ. But Lord, I know that there's hard things that wait for the Christian that longs to do those things. God, I pray that you bless us. Help us to learn tonight. Help us to learn to endure. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a place in Wyoming called the Bridger Wilderness. It's a western slope of the Rocky Mountains, and really, if you were to go there, you'd find 600 miles of hiking trails, okay? Anywhere from 8,000 to 13,000 feet above sea level. For those of you who like to hike, that's the place, okay? It's not really a trail for people who are out of shape, all right? So I would not do so well there. It's not a trail for those who can't make it to the second story of this building without becoming out of breath, okay? All right? That's just kind of how it is. Every year, thousands of tourists go to this place, and they leave a comment of recommendation. They leave recommendation cards for those who actually take care of the trail. And I want to read to you some of these comments. I found them to be kind of humorous. One person said, "The trails need to be reconstructed. Please avoid building trails that go uphill." Another person said, "There's too many bugs, leeches, spiders, and spiderwebs. Please spray the wilderness to rid the area of these pests. Please pave the trail so that they can be snowplowed in the winter." It's great. It even gets better. "The coyotes made too much noise at night, so I couldn't sleep. Please eradicate these animals." Someone said escalators would help on the steep sections. Another person said, "Too many rocks in the mountains." That mountain was a rock. Anyway, all right. this one's my favorite. "A McDonald's would be nice at the trailheads." "Chairlifts would be nice so that we could get to the wonderful views without hiking." "A deer came into my camp and stole a jar of pickles. Can I get reimbursed?" And they left their phone number. It's amazing what people will think before they have to do hard things. You know, it's amazing when we get to those hard areas and sections, and I can tell you, I'd probably be one of the ones that's like, "Hey, can we build an escalator here? I like the view, but I don't want to hike the trail." I believe that many Christians want the greatness of being to Christ. They want of maybe being able to sing a special in church. They want the greatness of being able to do something awesome for God, but I can tell you it comes with a price. You see, the Apostle Paul said in chapter number 3 of this wonderful book, he says, "Yea, those who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer what? Persecution." In other words, those who long to do things for Jesus Christ, they are going to go through the fire. Just like the three boys, Rad, Shack, Meshach, and Abednego. Sorry about that. again, I'm having one of those moments where my brain is moving 1,000 miles an hour and, you know, the words aren't coming out fast enough. When you think about, though, as a Christian, and I think this goes true with anything in life, we want the glory and the splendor of seeing the mountaintop high without actually climbing the mountain. We want the glory and splendor of seeing what God does for those who work hard for Him daily, but we don't want to have to work hard. We don't want to have to go through the fire. Tonight, Paul pens this letter. I was back at my alma mater, and Pastor Chapel was preaching, and he was dealing with the Apostle Paul in this book in particular. Pastor Chapel went on to describe the Apostle Paul's placement while he writes this, and many of you know this. If you'll study it out, the Apostle Paul was in prison, and we know that for the most part. But the prison that the Apostle Paul was in was, and I've been telling the teenagers of this the past several weeks, and I believe it's been a blessing, the prison that the Apostle Paul was in wasn't a long-term prison situation. In fact, as the Apostle Paul is writing this, he's writing it from the Mamertine prison, which basically was a prison to hold those who were to be executed. In fact, when you... If you were to go today to the Mamertine prison, you'd actually be able to walk down to where the apostle was probably chained to another soldier or chained to the wall, and you'd notice that the fact that this prison was actually in a sewer. And you walk down the steps, and you can see kind of down the way through even a sewer well, and actually you can see where the Apostle Paul was through the top of the street as well. In fact, this prison was a place where they would actually take the dead bodies from those who had died in the Colosseum, which was actually an eye glance away, just basically a stone cast from this prison. And they'd take these dead bodies and they'd cast them in this prison to rot there with the prisoners. So understand, the Apostle Paul is writing this, and he's writing to Timothy and trying to encourage Timothy. And I'm sure as Timothy, the Apostle Paul's son in the faith, is reading this, it's overwhelming him with emotions and overwhelming him that his dad in the faith, so to speak, was going through this tremendous hardship. But the Apostle Paul was being honest and blunt with Timothy. And he says, Timothy, listen, you're a pastor right now, but if you're going to do great things for God, if you're going to see great things happen for God, understand. The apostle was one to know, if you ever read, I believe it's 2 Timothy Corinthians chapter 11, see the 1 Corinthians 11 or 2 Corinthians 11, I'm sorry, I just, my mind is gone right now. He talks about all the different trials that he had been through. I mean, you might remember this passage. He was shipwrecked, I think, 4 times. He was whipped and lashed 3 or 4 times, beaten with rods. And you might remember the passage I'm talking about. And he goes through this detailed resume of all the persecutions that he'd suffered through. But specifically in chapter number 3, he talks about the persecutions that he suffered while he was in Antioch and Lystra, or I shouldn't say Antioch and Lystra, Derbe and Lystra. And when you think about that place at the early stages of Paul's ministry, he was literally stoned and cast out of the city and left for dead in those places. But who was there to watch? Timothy. Timothy grew up in Lystra. Timothy grew up maybe even on the outskirts of Lystra and Derbe, where the Apostle Paul was cast out of the city and stoned. And what did the Apostle Paul do the next day? Went right back in the city and continued preaching. What's interesting about those who will do great things for God is that those who will do amazing things and see amazing things will also go through amazing persecutions. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to endure through the hard things to get to the great things? If you consider Christ, consider the persecution that he went through, the greatest of all, straight to the cross for you. I can tell you that it's worth it. To see God do great things is worth it tonight. So tonight I want to give you a simple point, enduring hard things to get to the great things. Number one, I want to talk about a perilous period of time. A perilous period of time. Take a look at verse number 1 in chapter number 3. The Bible says this, know also that in the last days, our time, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That sounds awkwardly familiar. Awkwardly familiar. Not to just the world we're living in, but the church of Jesus Christ today. Unfortunately, we see many of the same things. Those who are covetous, those who are boasters, those who are proud, those who are blasphemers, even in the church today. Understand that these are the things that those who will live godly, those who will endure, will have to go through. These are natural actions of the flesh. You'll see men who are covetous. They are selfish. They want things for themselves. I've never seen a time period in my life, and I know I've lived a short life, and I was talking about this morning. I know it's only been 26 years, but even in 26 years, I know this is sad. In 26 years, I've been able to see men change completely. From being those who were content to work hard to earn what they got, to those who didn't want to have to work a day in their life to get everything they want. Covetous. Do you know the main problem, and I want to be careful when I say this, do you know when the main problem when it comes to even the homosexual agenda, the bisexual agenda, things like that? Discontentment. Discontent and coveting that God didn't give to them. Covetous after a way that God did not make them. When you think about the times we're living in, Christians, this is the time that we're going through. You say, Pastor Nick, this is old news. I know. But are you handling it with grace? Are you handling it with the testimony of Jesus Christ? We are the church. We are the body of Jesus Christ. We should be a light to this dark world in these perilous times with men who only want what the flesh wants. But I wonder today even, are you one that only wants what the flesh wants? You see, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, which walk after the Spirit and not the flesh. Tonight, I wonder, if I were to kind of do a scale of your life, would the scale tip on the flesh side or the Spirit side? If you were to do an evaluation of your life, scale tip on your fleshly side, what you want, what you covet after, or the Spirit side. I can tell you tonight again, just like this morning, it's a message for myself as well. The Lord struck my heart with this message. I would say the natural actions of the flesh, but also the negative effects of the scornful. Take a look at verse number 6. In this perilous times, you'll find scornful men as well. Verse number 6 says, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with their sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no farther. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. I love verse number 7. I think it describes those in our generation that like to try to make philosophy above God's word, or try to take reason above God's word. It says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? Because God's given us His truth. God has given us His truth, and they're trying to find something outside of truth. They're trying to find an answer outside of God's word, but they'll never find it. They keep learning, they keep filling their minds with stuff and fluffing, but it's never the truth. Why? Because we have God's word and it's the truth. You're living in a time where there's men who claim high intelligence but know nothing. You're living in a time where men claim high degree, but they're nowhere in God's eyes. Just a sinner in need of a Savior. And those are the people, those are the men that we are called to be a light to. That's not easy. Have you ever argued with a skeptic? Have you ever been confronted with a scorner? It's one of the hardest things to deal with. I was playing hockey last year. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I love playing. I'm not very good, but I love playing. And I was telling a lot of you this story that a lot of my hockey team was the Seaside Police Station men. And man, I support our policemen. I really loved being able to play with them and be able to tell them, hey, listen, I support you guys. And really kind of befriended them. But a lot of them were definitely skeptics at best. And they knew who I was. And in fact, they called me Priest. They didn't even know my real name. I think most of them had no idea who I was. I tried to explain, I'm not a priest, guys. Well, I mean, I'm you know, as far as, never mind, you understand. But I'm a pastor, guys. And they're like, okay, priest. And so I would, you know, just kind of carry on doing my business or whatever and trying to be a light to them. And the conversation came up with the miracles of Christ. And I think I was talking to someone about this. And I was trying to answer the questions nicely without going too deep and without going too far and without, you know, kind of losing my mind, you know, because they would give me like devil's advocate type things. And at the end of it, they were like, you know, you're all right, man. I was like, all right, you know, but my response was, actually, you know, it's my God that's all right. It's my God that's great. You know, and they just kind of shut up at that point. And it's amazing. It's amazing when you give someone a soft answer, how it turns away wrath. It's amazing when you give someone a truthful answer out of love, how it turns around mockery. It's amazing that all I might not have been able to lead them to the Lord, they know who I am and who I represent. They know the Savior who I represent. Listen, you're going through this time period. Do you have a loving answer? Do you have a loving response for the scornful? So first of all, it's a perilous period of time, but also, number two, I see the perplexing promise of trials. I'm alliterating tonight. A perilous period of time and a perplexing promise of trials. Take a look at verse number 10. It says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, and at Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. That's amazing, that statement. That might be something you might want to underline in your Bible. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. I love that statement. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. This is perplexing. This is confusing to me. Why is it that God, who is so good and God that is so amazing, God will have Christians go through these trials? And the answer is very simple, to build you. Because you as you are is not the goal. You as you are right now is not the goal. Jesus Christ is the goal. You know, in the past couple of weeks, I've come to this conclusion, this illustration, and there's a kid in here that I was talking to this about on Wednesday night, and I've kind of been overwhelmed by this illustration. Often, think of Christianity as kind of like us bearing our cross, you know, being on a cross like Jesus Christ. But bearing our cross is more or less the cross hiding us. Instead of people seeing us, it's them seeing Jesus Christ. Instead of someone seeing Nick Pierpaceni, it's them seeing Jesus Christ on that cross, and that's who I represent. I don't represent myself. I represent Jesus Christ. It's not about me. It's never been about me. It's been about Jesus. And to get to the point God wants me to be, that's why trials come. Because God says, I've got something better for you. I've got someone better in mind. As he looks at his son. The goal in Christianity is becoming more like Jesus Christ, being transformed into his image, not being kind of conformed into the image of the world, but being transformed into the image of Christ. That is the goal. Are you fulfilling the goal? God uses trials just like a sculptor would use a chisel. There's a video that I like to watch at times. It's these guys that do these different skits, and they have one that's called God's Chisel. And it talks about how God is chiseling piece by piece through trials, through chastening, just piece by piece, getting to the person, getting to the goal, getting to Jesus Christ in us. That's why the apostle said, my life is hid in Christ. The perplexing promise of trials is so that we can continue growing in him. You see, the apostle, even though there was these trials, even though there was these afflictions, he came through these things. Why? Because the Lord delivered him. Because it was never about himself. It was always about Jesus Christ. I see the example of Paul in here. I also see the stipulation of trials. You know, what's really interesting is that there's a part that we often skip over. It says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Not that anyone wants to go through persecution, but I think at times we look at our life and we're like, man, everything's going really, really easy. Man, everything seems to be simple. And it goes on and on and on like that, and nothing seems to change. And man, you're in the same place that you were way back when, and it doesn't seem like you've grown close to Jesus Christ at all. There's a stipulation. Those who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Maybe the reason why you're not seeing God work in your life as far as even trials are concerned is because you've chosen not to live like God, live like Christ. Not that you necessarily want persecutions, but man, we want to get to the great part. We want to do the great things for God. We want to do the allow my life to preach the word for those guys and people in Sunday school classes, and for those who have the opportunity to come up here and even preach at times. Man, that's great. But to get to those parts, sometimes God uses the chisel. He uses the persecutions. But if you're not seeing those trials come, maybe it's because your life doesn't match up with Christ. If you think, man, my life has been easy for a while and I haven't seen any kind of trials, I really think that's a red alert. It's a red alert. If I'm not seeing God bring trials and difficulties into my life to grow me, something's wrong. Something's wrong in my heart. I'm serious. You might think this is funny, but something's wrong in my heart if I'm not seeing trials to grow me. There's a stipulation involved. But even I see the seemingly unbalanced consequences. Verse number 13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And what this is basically saying is, listen, evil men are going to wax worse and worse, and it seems like nothing is hurting them. Nothing's harming them. How many of you have stepped back, and you don't have to raise your hand, just think about this. How many of you have stepped back in your life and you've seen the world and you've watched the world and it seems like, man, evil men and evil women, just they just continue to grow worse and worse and there's no consequences. It's just like, man, what's going on? The Apostle Paul claims it right here. You're going to suffer persecutions because you're living godly, because God is going to bring those trials in to grow you. God's not going to bring trials into someone else's life who's not living godly. God's not going to bring trials into someone's life who's not necessarily saved, okay? They're just going to grow and wax worse and worse, and yes, they'll eventually suffer the consequence for their sin. But sometimes it seems unbalanced, doesn't it? Sometimes it seems unfair. Sometimes we as Christians take a step back and it's like, man, why can that person do that? And if I were to do that, man, I'd be in a mess. Because we're living for Christ. There's a difference. We claim Christ. There's a difference. The seemingly unbalanced consequences. So first of all, we saw the perilous times. Second, we saw the perplexing promise of trials. Third, I want to see the privileged partaker of the truth. The privileged partaker of the truth. The Apostle Paul gives Timothy a command to continue. Verse number 14 says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." What's awesome to see is someone continuing. What's awesome to see is when you have a kid who grows up into Sunday school, man, something just grabs their heart. Something just grabs at them. And man, it's really cool to see them continue in the Word of God and continue to grow and to continue to become Jesus Christ. And yeah, you see that kid go through some tough times. And yeah, you see that kid, man, it seems like they get slammed hard, but when it comes right down to it, they get slammed because God is building something in them. And what's really cool is to see a kid come out of that and a kid ready to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with their life. That's awesome. It's awesome to see. You know, but that's not just for our kids. That's just for kids that grew up in the church. That's for you. Continue in the things you've learned. So from here, from the Sunday school class that you're in, no matter what age you are, no matter what life stage you are in, continue thou. Keep growing. Don't stop. This is an ever-progressing life that we live, progressing towards Jesus Christ. Are you continuing? No one's climaxed in Christianity, so to speak. No one's made it. I believe it's the Apostle Paul who in the book of Philippians said, "I have not yet apprehended." In other words, I've not yet made it. I've still got miles to go, and I think you would probably state the same, that you still have a long way to go. There are some hard things to endure to get to the great things. A command to continue. I also see a child's life now changed. Take a look at verse number 15. It says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And then he goes on to say, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." I was thinking about some of the kids that I've seen come and go. Now, I was thinking about some of the kids that I've seen come and you know, when I was younger even, and their life was one way when they came, but Jesus did a work in them. I was thinking about some guys that I knew at college. There was one guy that I thought of in particular that when he came to college, he was a mess. I mean, he was a mess. He couldn't, I mean, this guy, it was actually kind of humorous, to be honest with you. It was a mess. It just seemed like he couldn't tie his own shoes, you know. Everything just didn't really come together for him. And then I watched, and I was in the room down the hall from him, and I watched as he progressed. And I got to go be very close with this guy. And he would come to me, and he'd say, "Hey, Nick, I want to show you something." All right, you know, okay. And he pulled me into his room. He says, "Read this verse. This is cool." I was like, "That's awesome, man. That's awesome." He goes, "Yeah, it is. It is." He was a one-year Bible student. He was just going to stay for a year and then go on and try to figure out his life from there. After that year was up, later on we were talking, and he had decided, you know what, I'm going to stay for 4 years. I'm going to see what God has for my life. Someone's life changed. Someone's life changed because of the Word of God, because of what God was doing in them. And I can tell you the process for him wasn't easy. Kind of figuring out how to be on his own, right? Kind of figuring out what to do in certain circumstances and situations. But someone's life changed. But you know, you're never too late to change. It's never too late to change. Today is the first day of the rest of your life, one of our professors used to say all the time. It frankly got annoying. But I walked away knowing that statement and believing that statement. Today is the first day of the rest of my life. And what I do for God today is what matters. And then I'll move on to tomorrow. And what I do for God tomorrow is what matters. I wonder today if your life will change, you as a child of the King, a child of God. I wonder if your life will change because you decide, today, I'm going to live the rest of it for God. Tomorrow, it's going to be the same. It's all for Him, no matter what. Every word, it's for Him. Yes, there's slip-ups along the way. And there's things to endure to get to the great times. But I can tell you that God has something great prepared for someone who will just take every single moment and say, God, here's my sacrifice to you. Here's this moment for you. Here's this life for you. God, it's all yours. Last tonight, and I'm finished very quickly, the prepared preacher of the truth. Chapter number 4. We get to the part where Timothy understands that his life would be built on the Word of God. His life would grow through the Word of God. And in chapter 4, he says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The Apostle Paul says, Timothy, understand the days you're going through. Understand the persecutions you'll have to go through. Timothy, prepare yourself in the Word of God. Understand how privileged you are to be able to continue in His Word. But Timothy, as you go through those things, and as you strive for the Lord through those times, Timothy, you'll be a prepared preacher. Timothy, you'll be a prepared presenter of the Word of God. Understand, Christian, today, you might be saying, Pastor Nick, I'm not a preacher. Pastor Nick, I'm not a pastor, as most of us aren't. Pastor Nick, I'm just an average layman. But you're so much more than that. You are part of the body of Jesus Christ. You are a child of the King. And yes, I'm telling you tonight that it is going to be a time that you'll have to endure, but God has some great things ahead for you. And maybe greatness in the eyes of the world isn't what you'll have, but greatness in the eyes of God is what you'll have. And I wonder today if you'll be willing to endure those hard things, endure those times, endure those persecutions, endure those struggles, endure those scorners, endure those skeptics, be able to have a loving answer, be able to have a kind response, be able to allow your light to shine in a place that doesn't want your light to shine, in a place that wants to cover up your light. I wonder if you'll endure to the end to see God do great and mighty things through you. Because He longs to. Oh, my friend, my fellow church member, my brother and sister in Christ, I can't wait to see what God has for you. But will you endure the hard things to get to that point? We sang that song tonight. And Mr. Kennedy, if we could finish with that song, may the Lord find us faithful. As we think about that song, and I know it's a little bit different, Daniel, I'm sure you have the slides. I want you to think about the words, and Daniel, put it on the screen, may the Lord find us faithful. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but has given us the strength to obey. With power, sound mind, with love, the unfailing kind, I'll be not ashamed of His way. Let's all stand as we pray together. Let's stand and pray. Let's have a word of prayer as we stand together. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for the opportunity to come, and thank you, Lord, for being faithful to us. Lord, I know this is a little different. It's a kind of a different type of invitation, but Lord, I pray that we as Christians would be willing to endure the hard times to get to those great things that you have. That we as Christians will be willing to suffer those persecutions to see what great things lie ahead. Oh God, I pray that you bless this church, that you bless this congregation, that you bless these Christians. Lord, I pray that when we walk away from this place, that it be the same as we are in here, faithful to you. God, mend our hearts to yours tonight. Lord, I pray if there's any in here that don't know you as their personal Savior, Lord, allow them to come. Lord, that so we can show them from the Scripture how they can know that heaven will be their home tonight. Lord, I pray that we can be able to show them how to have a personal walk in relationship with Jesus. Dear God, just bless as we go into our invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.